An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time to feed you some more football, NFL Lunch style. Now, during one of the breaks, and we'd already played John Harbaugh talking about challenges and whatnot, but there's one that stands out to you, and I guess it's the Zay Flowers, where John was willing to go for the gusto, if you will, and sacrifice a timeout and turn out to be the bad decision.
Right. It was 2nd and 8 on the Las Vegas 38. And there was they called the timeout. Well, they get the timeout because he lost the challenge. 2:36 left in the half. 2:36 left in the half. So then that was 2nd and 8. So then we go to 3rd and 8, incomplete to Aguilar, which was a hell of a play by Ja'Corian Bennett. Then Tucker's field goal is no good. All right, so then Baltimore calls timeout number 2. They get the ball back after the field goal. It's 3rd and 5 on the Baltimore 24. Minshew was sacked by Van Noy. They call timeout to stop the clock with 1:42. And Carlson makes the 51-yarder. So then the Ravens get the ball back, and the Ravens call their 3rd timeout. It's 2nd and 10, Las Vegas 42. Lamar Jackson short middle to Zay for 8 yards. Timeout number 3 by Baltimore. 27 seconds to go. All right? So 3rd and 2 at the Vegas 34. Lamar Jackson short middle to Andrews for 12. Lamar spiked the ball, clock stops, 13 seconds. So 27. If they called it, if he would have called it right away, there's probably 20 seconds to go. Probably another 7 seconds by the time they run up, spike the ball, and get everybody set up. You know, because then they go short pass to Zay for 8 yards, and they call timeout, and there's or they don't call a timeout. That was there's 7 seconds to go, and then they kick. Then they kick it. All right. So if you have instead of 7, you know, you spike it, you're at 13 seconds, and then so if you had 7 more seconds, 20 seconds, instead of, you know, having another, you got another play is what I'm saying. You got the ball at the Las Vegas 14. You get at least one more shot at it before. So, I mean, if they'd had another timeout, they would have done that. And, you know, for a play that everybody that saw it on TV was not even challengeable, and I think Lamar was like, don't challenge, don't challenge, wasted a timeout where instead of getting a field goal, you got a shot at a touchdown again. That's the only thing that I'm saying about, you know, because Harb says, well, it's not a bad time to have a timeout. 2nd and 8 in the 38. I mean, you know, what good is a timeout there when you really could have used it for a chance at a touchdown? So that's what I was saying is, you know, it was wasted.
Well, you can't lose challenges if you don't take challenges. I guess that's kind of what
you can't. Yeah, they would have had a shot. Because because there was, like, decision time. There was 7 seconds to go, and Harb's deciding another play or kick it. And they kicked it. But if you had 13, 14 seconds, you're definitely running another play. So they lost an opportunity to run one more play at least.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch. Let's get back to John Harbaugh, his press conference yesterday. Talking about Lamar Jackson. Lamar, 2 games in, 62.7% completion rate, 520 in the yardage, 2 touchdowns, a pick, been sacked 3 times, quarterback rating of 86.5. And John Harbaugh talks about Lamar Jackson still kind of growing here year 2 under Todd Monken in this offense.
Well, you're always going to grow, you know, and the game is never going to stay the same. You know, we've definitely are trying to take this offense to another level. Being able to do stuff on the field with Lamar. Lamar, you know, I would say Lamar has the keys to the offense. He's the driver of that car, you know, and he drives it on the field. You know, Todd's calling the plays. The staff is putting the plan together. But Lamar has a lot of tools at his disposal. So that's something that, you know, that's going to continue to grow and improve, and we're going to build on that as we go. I think Lamar's doing a very good job with it, and I'm excited about what we can do with it.
Yeah, and Bob, I mean, kind of what Harb's saying, and who was it, Rob, that called and asked, you know, why is the clock getting down? because Lamar has the keys to the car, and Lamar's, you know, changing plays at the line of scrimmage. And I think Lamar's doing a nice job there. He looks like he's in total control. And I thought from the middle of the second quarter on, I thought they pretty much they did what they wanted off it. I mean, field goal, miss field goal, touchdown, interception. Otherwise, they weren't going to stop them. And then they had a touchdown after that. So, I mean, like one, two, three, four, five, almost six, five of six drives, you scored. So, I mean, the Raiders didn't stop them. They stopped themselves.
And getting back to Lamar and the offense, the vision is what? Now you're getting close to executing it there, John Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot in there, but it's kind of hidden right now. You know, it's in the bushes. You're going to have to dig in there and look for it right now because the results aren't what we want it to be. But the things that we're trying to build are being built. You know, we're working on the details, and there's a lot of plays getting made. There's choices being made. There's play decisions being made that I'm happy with, you know, and I think that we got to continue to build on that. We're in the right direction, and we've got the right plan. We've just got to learn to execute it better and more consistently, you know, and I think we'll do that as we go. We'll continue to get better.
I think the offense is getting better. I mean, it didn't look as like they were running two different offenses like they did in Kansas City. To me, they did a lot of things to take advantage of having Henry on the field where everybody thinks it's going to be a run. Like the touchdown pass to Zay Flowers, they put Henry like they faked a pitch to him to the right, boom, and then Zay was wide open. And then how about when Henry lines up at the quarterback and Lamar goes out at wide receiver on the short yardage? That was good. So I think what they need to get incorporated even more is Likely on those quicks. Get Likely the ball short because he is outstanding yak dude. So I think, you know, get him the ball. They had those. It seemed like those two were on the field a lot more together. So I think that's going to be I think they're kind of getting a better feel for all of those things, too. So I didn't think I thought the offense was better than week one, and I expect it to be even better week three.
Now, we talk about the offensive line being an area of concern.
That's the biggest problem.
Well, we talked about it in February. Yeah. I mean, name a month.
Yeah.
They're talking about the offensive line being an area of concern, but maybe second biggest concern was the pass rush two games in. John Harbaugh, your thoughts on the pass rush?
We've been saying it all along, you know, that we have pass rushers. Kind of proud of that. These guys are coming on. We're two games into a long season, and we're starting to establish, you know, ourselves as having some guys that can really get to the quarterback, you know. So I'm really excited about that, fired up about those guys. I think those guys are going to continue to get better. Dafe, David, you know, Van Noy, you know, the old guy in there, he's rushing the passer well, and Tavius. And then you got your guys on the inside between Namdi and between Travis and others. Yeah. They're doing a good job, too.
I thought Travis Jones had a hell of a game, you know, and he got some pressures in there. Did he get the half a sack on the one play? He should have because he was right back there.
He is sackless this year.
Yeah, because he should have gotten a half a sack. I can't recall which one it was, but I think and he's playing really good against the run, really good against the run. So that's good, and you know, Matabike, he's making plays out there. And Owe, that's what Owe looked like in practice. I mean, that first play of the game, he was shot out of a cannon. I mean, Colton Miller probably said, damn, where'd that come from?
Right.
You know, and the other one was a free sack for him because they didn't block him, but he took advantage of it. Oh, it was Travis Jones should have got the one, Bob, that Owe had the half a sack on because Travis Jones came right up the middle. But and Van Noy's a crafty veteran, man, and he knows how to use his hands. I didn't think Ajabo had a great game rushing the passer.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. And as we wrap it up here, you know, 0-2. I mean, you're not in DEFCON 1 just yet, but you know, you're talking about things, why you are where you are. Are you gonna be doing any to quote the car, shaking it up there, man?
You know, we'll look at every possibility as the week goes on. I think we're always going to be searching for ways to make our team better. There's a lot of areas here or there. It's not just in, like, starting and who's not starting. It's in who's playing in what groups, how many reps guys play, what plays they play in. Same thing on defense, defensive personnel groups. So Yeah, we're going to look at everything all the time. I mean, you're always going to do what you can do with the players that you have, the schemes that you have to try to get better. So a lot of times it's changing schemes. You know, a lot of times it's changing drills to try to get better. It's changing workloads for different guys, giving other guys an opportunity. All those guys, all those types of things are things that you do. Not just, and I'll tell you, you do it whether you win or lose. You do it all the time, but you especially do it when you don't win a game.
Yeah, and I just, you know, for the offensive staff, man, I mean, how hard is it probably to set up your game plan and stuff because you know that your O-line's not that good? I mean, that's to be the first thing that you got to think of. Okay, you know, we got Micah Parsons. Who else, you know? And you know what? We're not waiting till a series or two in like we did with Crosby. Let's just block them with two guys the whole time. You know, those kind of things you got to do offensively. And then, Bob, one of the things that they did there was Harrison played no snaps at inside linebacker this game. So that was – and Simpson played all the time. So that was a smart addition there.
It's 58-80-105-7 The Fan. Will come back. Feeble Five, who are the five worst teams in the National Football League? Gave you the 12 best earlier, as Vinny saw, the Dirty Dozen led by the Chiefs, and rightfully so. Who are the five worst teams? Looking at you, Giants and Carolina Panthers. Stay tuned for that. And then we're going to talk college football. Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. We're 3 weeks in. Disappointment, surprises, and who's a sleeper team that's maybe lurking around 14 or 15? Could make a deep run in the playoffs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skin, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble Five.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. On the other side of the glass, 2 weeks, I should say, are done. National Football League 2024. Atlanta stuns the Eagles 22-21 last night to finish it off. Now we get ready for week number 3. We gave you the Dirty Dozen. Vinny did the 12 best as he sees it through the first couple of weeks, led by the Chiefs, yep. Undefeated Super Bowl champions, and rightfully so. Now we get to the other end of the spectrum, the five worst teams, otherwise known as the Feeble Five.
All right, well, let's go back to last week. Last week, Carolina was 1, Giants were 2, the Raiders were 3, Denver was 4, and Cleveland was 5. So 2 of the 5 got a win. So, of course, they'll be out. All right, coming in at number 5, the LA Rams.
You suck.
0-2. They lost to Arizona at Arizona 41-10. And they're hosting the Niners this week, the Rams are. The Rams defense, they've allowed 426 yards a game, worst in the NFL.
And not only did they lose their two receivers in Puka and Cooper Kupp, their safety's out. John Johnson.
3 O-linemen.
And Aaron Donald's retired. So, and 49ers coming off a loss, too.
Yeah.
Hi-yo!
Come on, Ayuk.
Hi-yo!
Coming in at 4, the Denver Broncos.
You suck!
They're 0-2. They lost to Pittsburgh at home, 13-6, and they're going to Tampa. The Broncos have 0 touchdowns from running backs. And 0 touchdowns from receivers or tight ends. 1 TD on a 4-yard quarterback run.
Bo Nix, baby.
Yeah.
And by the way, they took ugly uniforms and made them uglier. There's your style report on the dirty or the Feeble Five.
All right. So coming in at three, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You suck.
Yeah, they're 0-2. They lost at home to Cleveland 18-13, and now they go to Buffalo play on Monday night. Trevor Lawrence, he's been under 60% completions in five of his last six starts. He also has only one 300-yard passing game in his last 13 starts.
Wow. Here's a guy that may have peaked as a freshman in college.
And he's making $55 million a year.
Great hair. Good for him.
It's been the same ever since. That's
Get a haircut, hippie. Maybe that'll change things.
Coming in at number two, the New York Football Giants.
You suck.
Yeah, they're 0-2. They lost at Washington 21-18, and they're going to Cleveland. The Giants' offense has one rushing play over 20 yards and one pass play over 20 yards in their two games.
Yeah, Daniel Jones wasn't horrible.
No.
Against Washington.
Just didn't have a kicker.
Yeah, Gano got hurt, and they had to go for it on fourth
opening
down.
Kickoff, Bob. Your kicker gets hurt.
Yeah, there you go. Change the rules.
Yes. Coming in at number one, the Carolina Panthers.
You suck.
Yes, they do. They're 0-2. They lost it home to the Chargers 26-3. Now they're going to Vegas for the Raiders, and the Raiders are going to be sitting 2-1. After 2 weeks, the Panthers' offense is 2-for-22 on third down.
That's bad.
Yes.
That's terrible. And Bryce Young got benched. Andy Dalton's taking over here. Dave Canales, the new coach, so he's not tied.
I tell you what, I was listening to Get Up this morning, Bob. They had Mel on, and Mel ripped the Carolina organization. I mean, last year, you draft the guy, and he was the consensus number one pick, and three new offensive coordinators during the season. Another head coach and new offensive system again. And Canales Bryce Young to play like one series or two series in the last preseason game. You know, Mel was going off saying, you know, David Carr said, I need a couple games. I got to play, and look what he's doing to start. You know, and Bryce Young got no reps. He's got, you know, all new stuff all the time, four new coordinators. Mel just blamed the poor kid. The organization's hosed him over, basically.
Now, if Canales, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Reich more of a C.J. Stroud guy? Frank Reich?
Sounds like the owner's the one that...
Who goes number two to Houston. But if he's getting benched already two games into the Dave Canales era, how does this bode well for him beyond 2024?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing you got to hope for if you're him, all right, you know, because he's playing with no confidence. And you know how it is. You know, look at all these Oriole batters that are playing with no confidence, you know, and having trouble hitting. Confidence is a big thing, and he's playing slow, all that type of stuff. So, Bob, another similar probably example would be like Darnold. You know, Darnold went number, what, two to the Jets?
He was third.
Third to the Jets, struggled, and then went to San Fran and sat for a year, and then now got a chance again, and now, you know, new environment, new thing, team believes in him and all that, different guy. And maybe that's what it's going to take. I think they're going to probably let him sit. And, you know, they'll probably have an injury at quarterback. You know, Andy Dalton gets hurt a lot, so he'll be back. And then maybe it's like sending, you know, Holiday down to the minors and then bringing him back up kind of thing.
Or he's Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, could be.
Yeah, and Bryce Young, brilliant player at Alabama, won a Heisman, but, you know, the size or lack thereof has been a knock there, yeah, too. I mean, he's completely.
But when you drafted him, 50%, yeah. Bob, when you drafted him, he was 180 pounds.
True.
So,
but I remember a lot of the draft Knicks saying that if he was 6'3", he'd be the best quarterback prospect to come out in 20 years, yeah, or something along those lines.
Well, Graziano said that one coach that head coach talked to him that didn't draft him said that when they put him on the whiteboard, he was the best they'd ever had on the whiteboard, and he's not playing like that right now.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The fan schedule for the NFL Week 3 starts Thursday. New England's at the Jets, Jets minus 6.5. Giants at the Browns, Cleveland minus 6.5. Green Bay's at Tennessee, Tennessee minus 3, even though Green Bay's coming off a win against the Colts. Speaking of the Colts, they're point-and-a-half favorites over the Bears in Indy. Houston's at Minnesota. Houston minus 2.5 on the road. Philly's at New Orleans. Saints minus 3. Chargers are at the Steelers. Steelers minus 2 in that ball game there. Denver is at Tampa. Tampa's minus 6.5. Let's see here. We got Carolina at the Raiders. Raiders 5.5-point favorites in that one. Miami's at Seattle. Seattle minus 5. Ravens laying 1 in Dallas. San Francisco laying 7 at L.A. The Rams, that is. Lions laying 3 at Arizona. Sunday night football. This game now becomes a little more interesting as Kansas City goes to Atlanta.
Yep.
Chiefs minus 3.5. And then two Monday night games. Jacksonville against the Bills. Bills minus 6.5. And then you got the Bengals hosting the Commanders. And Cincy laying 8. Yikes.
Yeah. The only thing I like
Bengals.
Yeah, the only thing I like about Buffalo playing on Monday night is they got the short week for the Ravens. So if the Ravens can get a win at Dallas, you get Buffalo coming down here on a short week. Maybe you can, you know, get back to even.
When we come back, talk some college football 3 weeks in there with Jerry Palm from CBSSports.com. Who's the lurking team that's right now, maybe not in your top four, top ten, but sniffing around that could be dangerous when the playoffs arrive here in a couple of months? Then it's a Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access at 2. Then it's Baltimore baseball tonight, live for Pickles, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me, Nolan, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick getting you ready for the Giants coming to town, 3-game set. Talking about it here on The Fan. And here to try to make sense of all of that from CBSSports.com, let's welcome back to the show Jerry Palm. Jerry, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right, man. And we'll look at these one-loss teams through the first couple weeks of the season. And with the expanded playoff field, which one-loss team, still ranked, still highly regarded, do you still view as a team that could make some really loud noises once we get into late in the season and eventually into the postseason?
I guess if I have to pick one, I guess I'd go with Notre Dame, mostly because their schedule has set them up to where they could go into USC still sitting on one loss at the end of the season. Now, Florida State's falling apart. The only other ranked team on their schedule, I think, is Louisville, and they get them at home. Notre Dame, you know, despite the fact that they can't really throw the ball much with Riley Leonard at quarterback, I don't know that that's a problem for them until they maybe get to USC. And then 10-2 Notre Dame may not make the playoff because one of those two is Northern Illinois, and they won't have what you'd call a super quality win, but it would really depend on what other teams do.
Now, Jerry, of the teams that are kind of just getting into the top 25, the Nebraskas, the Illinois of the world, which one, you mentioned Louisville, which one of these teams, schools, if you will, might have the wherewithal to get themselves into a more advantageous possible postseason scenario themselves?
Yeah, well, Illinois and Nebraska are interesting. Well, they play each other this week. Right. So, you know, one of them will pick up a loss, and you think it just gets hard. You know, I kind of like Iowa State. They've got to go to Utah late in the season, but then they get, you know, they get Kansas State at home. They don't play Oklahoma State. That Kansas has kind of fallen off, but they'll get them on a neutral site. So I think their schedule sets up for them to possibly make a run at the playoff as well. From, you know, they're still pretty far back, I think, in the rankings. I don't know how far up they are, but I don't think that's a team that a lot of people are probably thinking about in terms of the college football playoff.
Hey, Jared, a team that impressed me, that they're better than I thought. Penn State is better than I thought offense. I like the new coordinator from Kansas. Seems like they're passing game. They're more explosive offensively than they've been. Defensively, they got to pick it up a little bit more. They've been giving up too many yards. But they don't play Michigan, which this is the year they probably wish they played Michigan, and they got Ohio State at home.
Right, right. Yeah, and the road games, Wisconsin doesn't really scare you, Purdue, Minnesota. They got to go to USC, so that'll be a good challenge. I don't know. I mean, I just think offensively, if they are really more dynamic and more explosive. They should have put up more than 34 on Bowling Green. But they're going to get Kent State this week. And, you know, if this is a really good, you know, confident, explosive offensive team, that should be a really big number against mm-hmm. Kent State. That's one of the worst teams in Division One, or FBS, I should say. So, you know, I think that we should see, you know, something in the 50s or 60s from Penn State this week if their offense is as good as you described.
Hey, Jared, what about Texas? They're the new number one team, and Ewers is, I'm guessing he's going to be out for probably a couple weeks. And it just seems like with Manning in there, it seems like people are more excited.
Yeah, well, you know, because he's a Manning. And he showed to be pretty good.
Yes, he did.
Last week against Texas San Antonio, which is having a really rough year. And they're going to play, you know, Louisiana Monroe this week and Mississippi State next week, which is probably, you know, one of the lower teams in the SEC. It's going to be a while before Texas gets another test. Probably the Red River rivalry against Oklahoma, October 12th will be the next time, you know, Texas takes the field against a team with some talent. Not as much because Texas is really talented, but, you know, they'll play Georgia right after that. So it's Texas has got, you know, a pretty good path, as good a path as you can have for an SEC team to possibly finishing this season undefeated going into the SEC championship game. But, you know, the fact that you've got two talented quarterbacks who've demonstrated they can play really helps you navigate situations like they have right now with Quinn Ewers being out for a little bit. You know, you've got somebody that you can rely on as a backup, and most teams don't have that.
Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jerry, you referenced Florida State. They're 0-3, but what about Florida? The Gators here, as Miami looks to be back, air quotes, to, you know, some semblance of a powerhouse. What about the Gators? What the hell's going on with the Billy Napier and his squad right now?
Yeah, well, at least they won a game, albeit yeah. Stanford, but still, you know, it might be a situation in which coach gets fired first. I would say that Florida's coach is Napier's in the most trouble. Norvell is coming off an undefeated season, has probably earned a little bit of leeway here this year. But, man, the both of those programs are just inexplicably bad. You know, Florida, I don't think, has the talent Florida State does. I guess we'll find out at the end of the year when they play each other. We'll see if they have five wins between them by then. It's a really rough year. You know, Billy Napier's buyout is insane, but, you know, Florida's got SEC money, so if they really want to do it, they can do it. You know, I don't think Florida State is going 0-12, but, you know, gosh, both of these programs are just in a world of hurt. And, you know, Cal is good enough to beat them. You know, they've got SMU on the road coming up. They're struggling a little bit, but maybe Clemson at home, you know, at Miami, at Notre Dame, you know, Florida State may not even become bowl eligible this year, and that would be something for a team that was preseason top 10.
Hey, Jared, what's happened to UCLA?
They're just bad. You know, they had a coaching change. Obviously, Chip right. Kelly left, and I think he was getting off a sinking ship. Yeah, you know, they barely won at Hawaii. Indiana ran them out of the Rose Bowl. I mean, I think part of their problem is they play in the Rose Bowl. You know, they're not anywhere near their student body at all. It's hard to have any sort of home field advantage when you're playing way out there. Even if the team is good, you're probably not drawing well. I think a pretty bad situation for them. And then now you come into the Big Ten, and Indiana's hired a new coach and brought in a bunch of new players, and they're better. But UCLA, as bad as Purdue looked against Notre Dame, UCLA to me is the worst team in the league.
Anyway, to petition the Pac-12 to take them back. I don't know. If you're the Big Ten,
put them on Maryland's schedule.
We could use them this year. It's Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Jerry, we'll save the Heisman favorite talk till we get a few more games under our belts here.
Thank
How's
you.
That? All right, Jerry, thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, thanks.
Jerry Palm, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access awaits at 2. That's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, live from Pickles Pub. Me, Nolan, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, 5:30, getting you ready for the Orioles and Giants' final homestand of the series.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. the Rudeness Tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, if we're going to use Harbaugh's philosophy when it comes to Ben Cleveland, then Harbaugh himself should be out of a job because he's constantly outcoached and outperformed by his peers.
I don't agree with that, you know, and it's typical. They're 0-2, you know, I mean, every Monday, that's what we get after a loss, you know, fire Harbs, you know, and if they win a big game, he's the greatest guy in the world. I mean, it kind of goes with the territory, like Harb says.
This one here says the defense should, in my opinion, should have been better this year than they were last year. But so far, I think Zach Orr is in over his head. In two games, I haven't heard the names Simpson, Hamilton, or Roquan said one time. Defense has definitely taken a step backwards, and the only change has been the coach.
Yeah, I would tend to agree a little bit. They don't look the same right now. They're too talented to be having the issues that they're having. And I showed Norm, I showed Bob a picture or a couple plays from Roquan from last year. And he does look a little leaner. And I thought he moved a little better. I think he has a couple LBs too many. But I think schematically, you know, they lost three outstanding coaches on the defensive side. They lost Denard Wilson, whose defense at Tennessee is number one in the league. They lost Weaver, whose defense I think is like number seven in the league. And they lost Mike McDonald, whose defense is number three in the league. So they lost a lot of talent on defense, and they brought in a lot of guys that don't have NFL experience. So there is some catching up to do there. And I would say the adjustments after 2 weeks, it's taken them a while. You know, like with Kansas City, you know, how often were we calling for, come on, you got to take Rice away in the middle of the field. Don't wait till he catches five. And then Sunday's game, I would say, you know, you go in saying, all right, their best player can't beat us, Davante Adams. And who beat him? Davante Adams.
A glass half full thought for the defense. I mean, the pass rush has been probably a lot better than we all expected, for sure.
Right.
So.
And the secondary has been a lot worse than we expected.
It all evens out. It balances out. This one here from Chris says, Ravens fans should buckle up for a long season. When Lamar has to play behind an offensive line like this, he will get injured. This is a gross failure as an organization, not taking care of your foundation up front.
Well, ask, you know, a lot of these teams, well, what did the Jets do? They revamped their whole line because, you know, they gave up so many sacks. Those teams that give up a ton of sacks, they find out that it's what matters up front. You know, the game starts up front. Why do so many offensive tackles go in the top 10 in the draft? Because you need them. You know, why is Detroit so good? Their offensive line is good. They say New Orleans has got a really good offensive line. And I think, you know, O-line, D-line, it's battle of the trenches. And what did we talk about, you know, Sunday with the Raider game? We knew they weren't going to be able to run the ball early on. Their defensive line is too good, and they got 11 yards the first half.
The Jets revamped their O-line. Who'd they get? Two former Ravens.
You mentioned
the Detroit O-line, how great they are. Who'd they get? Kevin Zeitler.
Right. I didn't even mean to do that either. Sorry, Harbs.
And we'll close with this one here. Texter says, we get that the O-line isn't great, but let's not pretend that Lamar is that much different throwing when he has time. The guy even steps up into the pocket, not knowing why, runs into pressure himself sometimes, or he'll just flat out overthrow a wide open receiver. He still needs a ton of coaching himself.
I think Lamar's improved a lot. And how would you like to beat a quarterback when you know going into the game that your O-line stinks? So, I mean, when you everything in your mind is faster, 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 because I'm not going to have a lot of time no matter what happens.
Ravens 1-point favorites at Dallas coming up this Sunday. We've got three more days to preview it. Ravens back at practice tomorrow. One winning drive getting ready for that matchup, looking for their first win of the season. Orioles taking on the Giants, coming to town, losers of 4 in a row, 7 of 10. See if the Orioles can get this offense on track against Blake Snell. Tall order, but can they do it? We'll find out starting at 6:35 tonight. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.